Now, in Hosea chapter 11, I want to read the whole chapter, okay? And I know that's unusual for us to do. But when Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. As they called them, so they went from before them. They sacrificed unto Balaam and burnt incense to graven images. And I taught Ephraim also to go, taking them by their arms, but they knew not that I healed them. In other words, they didn't recognize he was the one doing it. I drew them with cords of a man with bands of love. And I was to them as they that take off the yoke on their jaws, and I laid meat unto them. In other words, he took the burden off. He took care of them. Verse 5, He shall not return into the land of Egypt, but the Assyrian shall be his king, because they refuse to return. And the sword shall abide on his cities, and shall consume his branches, and devour them because of their own counsels. And my people are bent to backsliding from me. Though they called them to the Most High, none at all would exalt him. How shall I give thee up, Ephraim? How shall I deliver thee, Israel? How shall I make thee as Admah? How shall I set thee as Zeboim? Mine heart is turned within me. My repentings are kindled together. I will not execute the fierceness of my anger. I will not return to destroy Ephraim. For I am God and not man, the Holy One in the midst of thee. And I will not enter into the city. They shall walk after the Lord. He shall roar like a lion. When he shall roar, then the children shall tremble from the west. They shall tremble as a bird out of Egypt, and as a dove out of the land of Assyria, and I will place them in their houses, saith the Lord. Ephraim can pass me about with lies, and the house of Israel with deceit. But Judah yet ruleth with God, and is faithful with the saints. In verse 8, the first part of that verse, he says, How shall I give thee up, Ephraim? Now God tells the story of Israel, Ephraim being one of the tribes, and he says, I did all that for them, and I became a father to them, and I took care of them, and yet they kept backsliding. My children, he said, my children, they're kind of prone to backsliding, and we'd all have to say amen to that. And he said, I'm not going to do some things for them, but I'm going to take care of them. I'm going to take care of them. And then he says a specific thing about Judah that he says there in verse 12, Ephraim compasses me about without lies, they lie to him, and the house of Israel with deceit. But Judah yet ruleth with God and is faithful with the saints. Now he said, those others, all they do is lie to me. They say I will and they don't. They say I won't and they do. He said, but I've still got some faithful children. But in this passage, he's not talking about the faithful children. He's talking about his unfaithful children. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe in hell. I believe in old-fashioned hell, fire, burning, separation from God. I believe the wicked are punished in hell. I believe the unbelieving are cast into the lake of fire. I believe in the wrath of God. I believe in the judgment on ungodliness. I believe that God will sit on a white throne one day and people will literally be cast in the lake of fire. But don't make any mistake. God is not only a judging God, but God also is a merciful God. Even when he's punishing his children, he still has mercy. Now, before punishment, compassion with God always comes before punishment. Before punishment, mercy always comes before punishment with God. You write that down somewhere and you remember that. And the next time you're being chastened for your sin, I want you to remember that God's had a lot of mercy and he's had a lot of compassion on us. Amen? And that compassion, that mercy always came before the judgment and the punishment or the whipping. Amen?
Amen.
Now, thank God we don't get what we deserve. And finally, turn to give you a good example. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, listen to what he says. He said, 1 John, and I'm looking at the wrong chapter. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, there it is. These things write unto you, that you sin not. He said, don't you sin. Don't you do it. Don't. He says, look at the second part of that verse. He says, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Now he said, don't you sin. You better not sin. But if you do, you've got an advocate with the Father. Now, there's mercy. There's compassion. With every judgment, God has mercy and he has compassion. He told these people, he said, I've taken care of you. I've fed you. I've led you. I've taken care of you. He said, but now I'm going to turn you over to somebody else. I'm not going to forsake you, but I'm going to turn you over to somebody else. And there in verse 8, he questions that. How do I do that? Now that's God talking. Now, God loved Ephraim. If you go back and study their history, they were idolatrous and they were wicked and they were prone to follow the countries that they passed through. In other words, they were contemporary. That word contemporary means like as. Amen. So every land they passed through, they'd take up their bad habits and their bad hobbies and their bad worship like most Christians do nowadays. And yet he loved them on through. And he loved them on through. And they were wicked people sometimes. And Hosea chapter 4, verse 17, if you look at that. Go back to Hosea chapter 4. Look at verse 12 first. In verse 12, he says, and I will destroy... I'm reading the wrong verse again. Y'all got to get me some new glasses. Take up an offering or something. 4, verse 12. My people ask counsel at their stocks, and their staff declareth unto them, for the spirit of whoredoms has caused them to err, and they have gone a whoring from under their God. In other words, they were committing spiritual whoredom with other gods. Now we know those were false gods. They weren't real. But these people just fall into that stuff. That's about the age we're in today, ain't it? They're worshiping all kind of stuff, man. You better not say anything about a dog. You'll go to jail, man. They'll put you in jail. You better not kick one. Amen? They'll put you under the jail. You better not say I hate cats on Facebook. Don't put down Facebook. They'll have a posse after you, man. I hate cats. Boy, we used to have a chihuahua. I hated that chihuahua. My wife and kids loved that chihuahua. One of the two house dogs we ever had. And I don't believe in house dogs. Maybe some of you do, but that's all right. I don't. And I got sinus problems enough without sleeping with one. Amen. And now people worship everything. They worship cats and dogs and horses and lizards and snakes. They make them part of their family almost, you know. Don't get mad at me. I'm just preaching. Man, they have spiritually made an attachment to things that have nothing to do with God. I don't hate your dogs, brother. I like your dogs. But I don't love your dogs. I'm not naming them after me. Amen? Some of y'all dogs ought to have your last name as their name. But you better watch what you criticize nowadays. The church and Christianity has gone a-whoring. Whatever's offering the highest price, that's what they're going for. Amen? You say, well, I wouldn't say that. That's why he didn't call you to preach, and he called me. They're committing spiritual fornication. Amen? You can do that. Go back and read 1 Corinthians. That's exactly what they were doing. They were worshiping false idols, and they were eating meat offered unto idols and everything else. And all of that involved worship. And God told them, said, you're committing spiritual fornication. And look, nowadays it's going on so much, but God looked down at them, and after he said all that, he said that. I didn't say that. He did. He said they asked counsel at their stocks. Do you know what a stock is? That's a piece of wood. He was talking about their idols. They go over and pray to that piece of wood carved like Mary. I didn't say that, did I? They pray to that statue carved like Peter. And by the way, who knows what Peter looked like? Nobody's ever took a picture of him. And all they did was change the Roman God's names to Peter and Paul and such things as that. And they'll go there. And have you ever been in the Catholic Church? Boy, you ain't missing a thing. And you go in there and they got this little old vase that you're supposed to wash your little hands in and go domino, domino, you know. And then you go a little bit farther and it's got candles up there. You're supposed to pay a dollar for that candle. And you take that candle and you got these statues all, they're stocks all up around the wall up there, the one in Charleston. And you can take your candle to your favorite stock and asked advice from that piece of wood, or you can ask that piece of wood to get your loved one out of hell, or you can ask that piece of wood to supply your needs, and it doesn't hear you. You just committed spiritual whoredom. Yeah, that's right. That's right. And that's what God's people were doing. Now, we're talking about the people that crossed the Red Sea. We're talking about the people that ate manna in the wilderness. We're talking about the people that God sent them so many quail, and I like quail, and he sent them so many quail till they eat it, and it come out their nostrils they'd eaten so much quail. God took care of them, amen? In the day, he led them by a cloud. At night, he led them by a pillar of fire. He'd send that fire down to destroy their enemies on the spot. That's the same God these people were leaving and going after other false gods. You say, preacher, I never would do that. I wouldn't talk too quick. We're not past that, amen? We're liable to do the same thing. It's just grace of God. We're not stuck over there calling the Pope our Holy Father. That's just the grace of God. That's all that is. It's just the grace of God. We're not in some church where a woman calls herself bishop, wears a backwards collar, and she's married to another woman and calling herself the pastor. It's just, he didn't say that, did he? I'm telling you, God's people have sold out to the world and the things of the world and the gods of the world, and that's exactly where Ephraim was. And look at verse 17 now. Verse 17. He says, Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. That'd be a sad thing for God to say about you, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be something if God came down here, Brother Ron, and said, Brother Billy and all of us who try to win people to the Lord, and came down here and called out somebody's name in our ear and said, no hope, give up, leave him alone. Now he said this about his own children that he brought out of bondage, and he said this, he said, they have, the whole nation has joined themselves to idols, leave them alone. I think it happened in Rome. I think there was a church in Rome. And I think around 1000 AD, they sold themselves out to idols. They adopted the Roman gods and renamed them as the apostles and the saints. And God said, just leave them alone. I'm done with that. I'm done with them. I'd hate for God to say that about me. I'll tell you one thing. The day that I got saved, I really felt it. And I've heard some of you say it. I felt like the Holy Spirit was saying, this is it. If you don't do it, I'm done. You say, now, wait a minute. That's not the God that Joel Osteen talks about. No, it's not. He's more Ephraim than he is Bible. Wait a minute, that's not the same God that my favorite TV preacher talks about. No, no, it's not. I'm talking about the God of the Bible. Amen. Who brings judgment. He said himself, he's holy. He has to bring judgment. Now you and I, we don't have to. He even tells us don't judge. Now he's not talking about don't judge right from wrong, but he's don't judge who's going to heaven or hell. We don't have a right to do that anyway, but God does. God's the creator. He has the right to judge. Now, Brother Ron, I don't have your children, you don't have my children. I have no right to discipline your children. Amen? And you don't have any right to discipline my children. Come on, help me. Now, if you ask me, I'd be glad to do some of them. Amen? I'll help you out. I will. I'll help you out. But I don't have the right to do that. But God, who's the creator of all mankind, he has the right because he's holy and he's pure and he's perfect and he has the authority to judge anybody. Anytime. Any place for anything. That's God. God can do that. But I want you to notice, before punishment, he always has compassion. Now, as a parent, we'll be the same way. If we're a good parent, we are. Don't ever whip your children when you're mad at them. You hear me? Because if you do, you're going to overdo it because you're whipping. You're mad. You get away, you think about it a little while, and you sit down and talk, and then say, now, I got to whip you. Amen? But God, he never punishes his children without first giving him an opportunity to get it right. Amen. Yeah. Now, let me ask you something. If you're saved by the grace of God, and I think most everybody in here has made a profession of faith, do we not all have the Holy Spirit living in us? Amen. Amen. You ever heard anybody say this? Well, the Lord told me. And I'm thinking sometimes, you know, he forgot to tell me that? So if we got the same spirit and he told you, I should know it too. Hello. Yeah. Come on. Yeah, right. Yeah. And they come up with some of the craziest stuff. Yeah. Well, the Lord told me it's all right to leave my second wife and go to my third one. Because we're in love. And love is a many splendored thing. It's in the Bible somewhere. I read it. I've heard it say, is that not in the Bible? Amen. Well, the Lord told me that I could take this house payment and go to the beach, and because I'm supposed to enjoy life. The Lord of heaven didn't tell you that. He'd look at you and call you a crook if you didn't make that house payment. Amen. Recently, I heard where a church, the pastor either has or is about to, and I got to give him some slack here. He inherited a church that's about $1 million in debt and they don't have but a handful of people. But he was going to have a vote on whether or not to walk off the whole congregation. He wanted 90% approval. And he would walk off and leave that building and leave that property and leave that debt to the bank and go down the road and rent a store building and start all over under a different church name. You know what they call that where I come from? Crook. He knew they had that debt before he took that church. But now he's got in that church. I don't know what he's worried about, his salary. I don't know what he's worried about. But I know this. If they walk off, well, the Lord told me. The Lord didn't tell you to do that. The Lord told you to pay your debts. Amen. The Lord told you to be honest. But see, God will let us do a lot of things, and he has a lot of compassion, and he has a lot of mercy, and we ought to reverence him for that. Amen? Amen. Now don't look at Ephraim too bad. If we got what we deserved, we'd be lost today. And I'm talking about since we've been saved. I'm talking probably this week. We got quiet on that one. I'll go even farther. I'm talking about yesterday. Amen. Maybe even today. Maybe a bunch of gluttons. Amen. I saw them. But the point is, listen to me. God is long-suffering. And He's compassionate. And He's full of mercy. Now listen to me. Are you listening? God said, Ephraim's gone too far. Leave him alone. But wait a minute. It would have been sad if he had stopped there. It would have been real sad if he had stopped there. But go to Hosea chapter 11, verse 8. How shall I give thee up, Ephraim? How shall I deliver thee, Israel? You know what he's saying? You know, I'd like to give you up, but because I'm holy and I'm pure and I'm righteous and I'm made of mercy and grace and long suffering, how am I going to do that? I thank God he doesn't give up on us. Boy, I've made a lot of stupid mistakes since I've been saved. I've done a lot of things on purpose, stupid, since I've been saved. Getting quiet on me now. I thank God. He might have looked at me one day and said, I'm just going to give up on that boy. And then the next day he turned around and said, how can I do that? He's mine. I adopted him. He's a part of my family. My son paid the ultimate price for that boy. I'm not letting the devil have him. I'm not going to do that. I'd rather whip him. You know, like the father of the prodigal son, he probably said, how can I? That boy took half everything his daddy owned. He wouldn't wait till he died. He said, Daddy, I want it now, and I want it all. Y'all seen people like that, haven't you? You don't read where that man argue with that boy at all. He went and got half, went down to the bank, got half everything he had in the bank, handed it to the boy. And the Bible says the boy walked off and wasted it. Now that, if you read that too quick, you don't think about it, but he wasted it. That man had worked all his life for this money, worked hard and saved and scrimped and did all kind of things for his children, and then one of them turns against him and wants it right now, and I want it all right now. And can you imagine how hard that was and how that man felt? Can you imagine how brokenhearted he was? And watch that boy walk off knowing that what he just gave him would destroy him. And then after he spent all in his riotous living, the partying was over, the pot was gone, the beer was gone, the friends were gone. He come dragging back at the house covered with pigs, mud and slop and nasty matted hair, been sleeping with the pigs and eating pig food, and he comes dragging in there, and guess what? He didn't have to go beg his daddy to forgive him. Guess what? His daddy was already standing in the driveway looking for him. Every day his daddy went out there to the end of the driveway, and I imagine he looked with tears in his eyes saying, Lord, take care of my boy. He don't know what he's doing. Lord, take care of him. Bring him back to me every day. I've been there. Every day. Lord, bring him back to me. I love him. I know he's doing wrong. And I know he ought to be punished. I know he ought not get by with it. But God, bring him back to me. I love him. I can't give him up. I've heard of people disowning their children. I don't know how that's possible. I don't know how that's possible. How in the world could you just cast off your children that you love and that you take care of? That's the Lord trying to get in touch with somebody. Listen, I'm telling you, how in the world can you do that? People say, well, I disown them. Well, how can y'all disown your own flesh and blood? And God says, I'm disowning Ephraim. I'm done with them. It's over. I give them up. And then he turns around and he says, how shall I give him up? How shall I do that? unless you're a parent or a grandparent, you'll never know the brokenheartedness of parenting. And your own children, they'll break your heart. I broke my mama's heart. And I'm sure most of you broke your parents' heart. And we didn't think a thing about it. Hey, Brother Billy, we was getting counsel from somewhere else. They might as well have been dumb stock of wood. It was a bunch of dumb sinners. We was getting advice from other people. We never thought about Mama being at home beside the bed praying that hadn't seen the boy in 3 days. God, bring him home. Where is he? I remember when I was a teenager, 15, 16 years old, I'd just take off. I'd be gone 3, 4, 5 days. Wouldn't have no money. Sleep on the beach or a bench or bum around or whatever you do. Back then, there was thousands of teenagers just like me doing the same thing. We had camaraderie, you know. We all knew where to go and people to hang around with. And it never occurred to me, my mama didn't even know where I was at. It never occurred to me she knew I left with one set of clothes and no money in my pocket. It never occurred to me. And I'd go home. And I could tell she was mad, but she couldn't do a whole lot. I was so much bigger than her by then. But she'd say, "Where you been?" And I'd say, "Well, I've been down at the beach." She'd say, "You can't tell nobody?" But she never would whip me. She never would. If it'd been me and that'd been my boy at 16 years old, if he was too big to whip, I'd have packed his bags for him. But my mama never did that. And that's the way God is. He looks down here at us, and a lot of times we'll get into sin, and then we come to church, and the Holy Spirit says, "Where you been? Who told you that would be all right, what you did this week? You were talking to somebody else. You wasn't talking to God. You were taking advice from some dumb stock instead of the Holy Spirit." We're not praying yet. Don't get that quiet. But in Amos chapter 4, verse 12, turn over there if you will. Now, I'm not going to read it to you. I'm just going to summarize it because I'm running out of time. But here's what he said. He said, "I gave you a famine. It didn't bring you back. I gave you goodness. Yet you have not returned to me. I gave you war. You've not returned to me. I gave you peace. You didn't return to me." And then finally he says, God finally says in chapter 4 of Hosea, he says, Amos chapter 4 verse 12, he says, "Prepare to meet thy God." "I gave you war, I gave you these things to try to warn you, I tried to tell you. As Hebrews chapter 12 says, God chased his children, and I've chastened you and chastened you and chastened you, and you wouldn't hear me. So now," verse 12, Amos chapter 4 says, "prepare to meet thy God." He says, "I'm done chastening, and I'm going to take you home." I remember one time I was out with some boys, and of course in places where it ought not be. And one of them's daddy drove up. And he opened the door on the passenger side. "Boy, get in. You are going home." You know that boy didn't question? He jumped in that car so fast to make your head spin. And of course, all us Ephraims were saying, "He wouldn't talk to me like that." Now, the only reason nobody talked to us like that because we didn't have nobody that loved us like that. Prepare to meet thy God. You know, God comes to a time finally when he says, "You know, you'd be better off in heaven than you would on earth." And did you know sometimes he comes to the point where he says, "I whipped you, I done everything I could, but I couldn't give up on you. So since you're not going to change, I'm going to take you up here because you're ruining my testimony." Yeah, yeah. prepare to meet thy God. It shocked you how many premature deaths I've been to. Well, God ain't like that. God's a God of love. Yes, He is. That's why He does it. If He wasn't a God of love, He'd just go ahead and cast you off into hell. Instead, He takes us to heaven. Now, ain't that a punishment taking you to heaven? But God doesn't pour out His judgment until finally He's gone through the mercy and the grace, and He offers mercy and He offers grace, and you refuse it, and you refuse it, and you refuse it, and you refuse it, till finally He says, leave him alone, I'm taking him home. Now, He didn't say, leave him alone, I'm going to throw him in hell, I'm going to give up on him. He said, leave him alone. Now, prepare to meet thy God. Now, I'm not anybody's judge, and I try not to think that way, but sometimes I sit beside bedsides of people dying of cancer or liver failure and all this stuff, and I think to myself, your lifestyle, even though you're a child of God, you claim to be saved, your lifestyle has killed you. Did you know you can't drink liquor and live? You're eventually going to die. Did you know you just can't keep on taking drugs and live? Your liver's going to kill you. You're going to die. Did you know eventually all sin, the wages of sin is still death? And if it goes against the will of God, God's going to have patience with you, and He's going to have mercy with you, and He's going to send that mercy continually and keep forgiving. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, and He's going to forgive you and forgive you and forgive you. But finally, one day, He's going to say, leave him alone, I'll take him home. Now you say, well, that's me. No, that's grace. If it was me, He'd say, leave him alone. I'm going to send him to hell. I'm glad that God didn't give up on Ephraim. He said, I gave you goodness. You didn't return to me. He said, I gave you war. You didn't return to me. I gave you famine. It didn't bring you back. You know, a lot of times people call me and they'll say, preacher, pray for me. I was in a car wreck. And the first thing enters my mind, you've been out of the will of God so long, God gave you a car wreck. Because they never would have called me before.
Yeah.
But God doesn't give up. Because of God's mercy and His grace, the Bible says we're not consumed. If this whole world got what it got today, we'd be burnt up. You don't have to worry about Korea with a little old 50 megaton bomb. God's got something more powerful than that, His Word. He spoke it into existence, and one day it's going to melt with a fervent heat when God says, that's it, leave them alone, I'm through, this is finished. And the world's going to melt with a fervent heat. But in His mercy and His grace, He's going to take His children out first. Even though we don't deserve it. Lamentations 3:22-23. Well, start with verse 21. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. He said, when I remember that, I've got hope. Now y'all listen to me. This week ain't going to go by before you fail the Lord. Now, I don't mean you're going to backslide so far, you're going to get in jail or something. But every one of us this week, somewhere along the line, if you want to call it fail, somewhere along the line, we're not going to be like we ought to be. We're not going to do what we ought to do. And except by the mercies and grace of God, the judgment of God would fall on us. That's why I don't think I'm any better than anybody else. I thank God I'm not what I used to be. Amen. I'm a new creature in Christ. I was born again. I'm brand new. Born again, got a new heart, new mind, new spirit, but I still got this stinking flesh. I war with it every day. I struggle with the same things everybody else does every day. And thank God His mercies are new and they're renewed every day. Not, hey, nobody in here is any better than anybody else. And thank God He doesn't look at us and say, Ron Roddy, leave him alone. He sold himself to something else. Leave him alone. Instead, he says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my burden is light. Let me tell you something. God judges sin. I believe that. The wages of sin is death. I believe that. God chastens His children. I believe that. God whips those that are disobedient. I believe that. Through circumstances and sickness and trial and floods and hurricanes or whatever you want to call it, the God of heaven is still holy and pure and perfect, and we are undeserving of His mercy and grace, but I sure am happy for it. But there comes a day in every Christian's life till we have to make some decisions. And we've got to say, well, I know I'm saved. I know I'm on my way to heaven. I know I'm forgiven. But there's something about this thing right here, whatever it might be, if it's an idol of wood or stone or automobile or a house or a job or a paycheck or a person or a habit or a hobby, every once in a while we have to look at things and say, wait a minute, is the Lord trying to tell me something about this thing right here? And because He loves us, He does that. If He didn't love us, He'd just bat you over the head every time you did. But the Holy Spirit speaks to us. He speaks to me. Now, it's not always a great booming voice. Sometimes it's just a, Sometimes it's just a, whoa, right there. Help me, Bill. You on? Amen. Sometimes it's a back up. Back up from that. Amen. Sometimes it's a not that person. Sometimes it's a not that job. Sometimes it's a you going where? That Holy Spirit speaks to us. And He speaks to us, and He speaks to us, and we have to on purpose turn that off. Quench the Spirit. You get spiritual on me over there, brother. Your Bible knowledge is coming out. We quench the Spirit, you're right. By saying, nah, that's not the Lord. That's my upbringing saying that. That's that hard daddy I had saying that. That's that old hard preacher saying that. I hear that in my head. If I know the Lord's will, well, most of the time we don't do what we know the Lord's will is. And here's the worst one of all. If I know my heart. Well, the Bible says your heart's deceitfully wicked and no man can know it. If you follow your heart, you're going to be in trouble with God a lot. Because the desires of the heart. Now, He does say He'll give us the desires of our heart, but that doesn't mean that Mercedes that TV preacher's talking about. It means He will put His desires in our heart. He'll give us the desires of our heart. He'll plant them in there. And whenever He does that, it's always good. So common sense will tell me if I've got desires that are not those kind of desires, God didn't give me those desires. My flesh did. And Ephraim walked in the flesh. They only worshiped what they could see, and it got them in trouble. And God whipped them, and He whipped them, and He whipped them, and He whipped them, and then He said, get out of the way, leave them alone, I'm done. But then He turned right around and He said, how can I give them up? I'm sure God looks down here at me and you sometimes and says, everybody better get out of the way because I'm fixing to do something. That boy's gone far enough. But then he backs up and he says, but wait a minute. But wait a minute. My son died to pay for that fellow. I gave the ultimate for him. I'm not casting him off. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to do something else in mercy and grace. And if that means taking them home, then that's fine. That's fine. I remember Brother Tommy used to sit up here and he got liver cancer. And everybody was wanting to ask me, why did he get liver? Why did God let him do that? He just started living right. And he just trying to get his family right, you know. And he was a great witness. He was trying to get all those old rednecks, you know. He hung around with, get them saved. He was talking to them, got her in church, got others in church. And people said, why did God do that? I don't know why God did that, but I can tell you this. It was in mercy and grace that he did it. Why would we deny him of heaven? You know, sometimes it's not God's will that we live for on and on and on. But then on the other hand, our sins will shorten our life too. So I'm just want to tell you tonight, he wants to be your father. He don't want to be your judge. Because see, he poured out his judgment on the cross for you. And he don't want to be your judge. His son's already paid for your sins. He don't want you to pay for them again. So when you sin, he's got to do something. And we will either repent or we'll be chastened. And his mercies will be renewed the next day. You know, I've talked to people before. They say, I can't go back to church. I said, why not? They say, you don't know what I did. I said, well, I don't want to know what you did. God knows what you did. And I don't read anywhere in the Bible where it says, forsake the assembling of ourselves together. I read in the Bible where it says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. But nobody down there would want me. I said, nobody wants to know what you did because they've all done things they don't want you to know about too. And I said, if you'll just come back down there and get right with God, God will have mercy on you. But if you don't, he's going to whip you. I'll go ahead and tell you, he's going to whip you. But if you'll just come down there and lay it on the altar and say, God, this is what I did. And I knew what I was doing when I did it. And I knew I ought not do it. But I did it anyway. Father, forgive me. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ. And you know what? You'll get up. You'll get up and you'll walk out in his mercy. Amen? That's good news, isn't it? And all those sinners think we're mean. And all those sinners think that we're judging them. But what we're trying to do, we're trying to say, look, get in our family. Our Father don't kill his children. Amen. He'll take care of you. Now today, tonight, you might have thought about while I was preaching, you might say, well, preacher, the Lord's whipped me. He's done this to me and done that to me. Every morning, it says that every morning, his mercies are renewed every day. Did you know you can get up in the morning and walk out of your house just like the first day you got saved? Every day. Well, you're getting saved every day. No, I'm not. I'm renewing his mercies every day. And I remind him of his mercies. I say, Lord, you remember you said. I let him do the preaching. Now, we all fail him. If you can, we've all failed. And this week, we're going to face challenges. Every one of us is going to face challenges. And we're going to be tempted to follow the flesh. And we're going to be tempted to follow that old wicked heart. And we're going to be tempted to follow bad advice from people that don't know anything about God. And about James has the perfect answer. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to thee. Cleanse thy hands, thy filthy sinner, every day. Lord, I'm sorry. This is what I did. I'm washing away with the blood of Jesus Christ and get up and walk out brand new every day. A lot of people quit because they don't know what I just told you. they'll get things in their life, and it'll grow bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and then they get too guilty to go to church. They can't sit in church because of it. And then they get too guilty to read their Bible because of it. And then they get too guilty to even name the name of Christ as a child of God anymore. And they quit on God, and they're out there, and they're still saved, and they're still going to heaven. They're under the chastening hand of God, and God loves them just like He always did. They may shorten their life, but He'll love them anyway. Where you and I, we know that God doesn't give up on His children. And thank God He does. Amen? Let's stand. Father, thank You for the mercy, the grace, the long-suffering, the goodness of God. God, thank You for adopting me, this old sinner.